Love music. Live sport. Tapes up with Derek Smith and Graham Munsey on Rock Sport Radio.
Welcome to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, your weekly look back at all things Scottish Speedway. Over the next hour, we'll take a look back at a huge week for Glasgow, Berwick and Edinburgh. My name's Graham Munsey, firmly in the belief that the Keogh Cup is the premier competition in Speedway in the UK.
Oh, how laughable. And I'm Derek Smith, smiling so much my face still hurts, and thoroughly looking forward to tonight's show. Well, Graham, so very much to try and cover tonight as far as we can. It's been one heck of a week for some. Celebrate good times, come on.
Second time this year he's sang, I'm sure figures went through the floor both times.
It's been a long time since anybody did that. Playoff celebrations for some, and for others, the party's over. It's time to call it a day. The playoff party is over. Yeah, Graham, less than 30 seconds into tonight's show. I wonder if our listeners can tell, who, as you mentioned last week, whose face is looks like a burst ball.
Yeah, I don't know, do we need to pay for the rights to those songs now? We'll need to speak to a producer on that one. Although, to be fair, I'm not sure anyone could identify what either of the two songs were. Yep, you're right, Derek. One of us is a bit happier than the other tonight after
You could say that.
A big week, but hey, nothing's won yet.
It would be exciting me, but let's cover all that off in a little bit more detail. Let's first of all take a look at how we line up tonight.
Yep, so we'll start by going all the way back to last Tuesday. A huge Scottish derby was in store at Ashfield. Big for both clubs. You know, we spoke about it last week going in. Edinburgh maybe had the belief that if they could get something from that, it was curtains for Glasgow. Glasgow needed the win and looked to buy from that, and we'll hear how that went and talk to Monarch's Josh Pickering.
Yep, on Thursday night, Tigers travelled to Foxhall Stadium, Ipswich, where on the back of Tuesday's result, they would know what they had to do, and a away win could still seal the deal on that playoff qualification. The Glasgow team would travel in determined mood, but would face a plucky Witchy side who still hadn't given up their own diluted hopes of yet making the top four. Delight or despair, and for whom, we'll cover off what happened.
It was very remiss me there when I mentioned Tuesday. I should have said, not only will we hear from Edinburgh Josh Pickering, but also Glasgow team boss Cammy Brown. Then we moved on to Friday night. Huge match in store down at Lakeside. Glasgow went down there to close Lakeside's stadium, the Arena Essex Raceway, closing for good, apparently, and potential that it could still have been a playoff decider. We'll cover that as well.
Also on Friday night, many hundreds of miles north at Armadale Stadium, it was a must-win for each of Edinburgh and Berwick as they rolled a final dice on their respective playoff ambitions. Monarchs would look to continue their run of comfortable home wins, whilst the Bandits would look to produce perhaps their biggest performance of the entire season to claim that first away win. We'll reflect on what happened, as well as hear from Edinburgh co-promoter John Campbell.
Yep, and talking about those Bandits, they were in further action on Saturday night, the fourth attempt at running their match at Foxhall against Ipswich. That meeting would conclude the Championship League season for both. Would there be anything left for them to play for? We'll discuss what happened in that as well.
And we'll also bring you an exclusive interview here on Tapes Up with Glasgow number one Craig Cook. Well worth a listen. So with all that action covered off, we'll position what remains to be fought over in the next few weeks and share our thoughts on the prospects of yet some silverware spending next year north of the border. Clutch in, throttle on, tapes up.
Yep, another huge show ahead, and we'll start off as ever with a review of last week's action. Tuesday night, all roads led to Ashfield, as the saying goes. Big night for both. Derby D-Day, I believe the Glasgow social media push was for it. I'm not sure what the D stood for in that one.
Desperation.
Well, potentially so. But probably the most crucial derby clash of the season, being as we've touched over the weeks about the league being the main one. Of course, I can cling on to that weekend back in June when we empties out the May, sorry, when we emptied us out the cup.
I can barely remember it.
Well, we can tell that by the interview when we phoned you in Prague, Derek. Playoff qualification, there was what was on the line. And in the end, it was a forebearing of what was to come for Glasgow.
Yeah, do you know what I'm going to start by saying? Brilliant incredible, sensational, stunning, dominating, and so many other superlatives that I could use from a Glasgow perspective. You were there on the night, a big crowd packed into Ashfield on Tuesday night. It was a must-win, as we both just said, for both sides. And right from the off, I'm delighted to say that Glasgow took hold of that meeting by the scruff of the neck and never looked back. It was the most dominating, comfortable performance from Glasgow of this entire season.
It was. You know, we've spoke to Cammy Brown a few times, and he corrected you a few weeks ago, didn't he, after the match at Armadale, when you said there was a lack of fight.
He didn't like that
in the team, and you know, dare be it for me to say, but I would probably level that same accusation at certain members of the Edinburgh team from last Tuesday. Not all. There was some standout performers. We'll hear from Josh Pickering a bit, who, as per usual, was worth the admission money alone.
Yeah, he's good to watch, is Josh.
In some of his races. Eric Grist battled manfully, maybe a little bit underpowered to compete with the likes of Craig Cook. And guest Brock Nicol was fantastic. And hey, we can't look to the Joe Anderson be missing for the result. Because on Joe's previous form, Ashfield, whether was it 9 points or paid for 9 points, I think Brock got, whether he would have got that. But yeah, it was... I walked into the stadium and I just felt right. There was a bit of buzz about it. You know, we've spoken about it before. Speedway's meant to be ridden under the lights.
Yeah.
Afternoon Speedway's all well and good, but there's something about under the floodlights, a big crowd. So the Edinburgh fans normally congregate up on the fourth bend. It was packed in there.
And by the way, it was a delight to see so many travelling fans from Edinburgh on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and then you're right. You know, the worst possible start from a Monarchs point of view, a 5-1 in Heat 1, and you could tell early on in the signs that there was... We spoke all season about the key performers in Glasgow when they were underperforming was probably James Sargent and Paul Stark.
Correct.
And both of those guys had huge nights straight from the off. You know, Sargent joins Craig Cook for a Heat 1 5-1. Stark, a tapes to flag victory in Heat 3. And knowing what you're going to get out of Harris and Vissin, at that point it was looking kind of ominous for the Monarchs. Big throw of the dice with the tacky ride for Ricky Wells in Heat 9. It didn't work.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're kind of thinking, right, if we could maybe just get a wee push, there could be a point in here. But as it was, there was just one team that kicked on the rest of the way, and it was the Tigers.
Yeah, no, that's a fair assessment, Graham. And, you know, from a Glasgow point of view, what a delight to get off to a 5-1 in Heat number 1. The first half of the meeting was a little bit... I'm looking at the race card right now. There was 10 points of a difference between the sides at the end of Heat 8. But, you know, it was the latter stages of that first half before Glasgow kind of stretched away that little bit. We always felt, Glasgow fans, that Edinburgh, at any point, were going to strike back. And you know, that tacky sub that you talked about in Heat number 9, you know, didn't, you know, was nullified by the Vissing and Stark combination. But, yeah, you know, with Craig Cook winning heats, Chris Harris winning heats as he was on Tuesday night, and as you mentioned already, James Sargent and Paul Stark offering up some real solid support to the Heat leaders. And, word of mention, of course, for Glasgow's reserve on night, Jordan Stewart, who did a sensational job in the number 6 race jacket. Glasgow just didn't allow Edinburgh to get back into the meeting at all.
That was it. You know, you were looking down the lineup, and it's, I guess it's kind of proven by the fact that Edinburgh had zero heat advantages. So even when we did win a heat, it was nullified by Glasgow, you know, tucking it behind.
And who would have expected that? Let's be honest, who would have expected Edinburgh not to at least, you know, conjure up one or two heat advantages?
Exactly. And you thought, you know, you're looking at it again from the Edinburgh point of view, you just thought at some point some of these other guys are going to have to come to the party. Richie Worrell had an absolute nightmare night on his return to Ashfield. 1 point, I think, from memory it was for Richie. And you almost felt right, he had a poor first, he thought right, he'll rectify in his second one. That went pretty far right. The third one, surely he'll come to the party. And then obviously his last one in Heat 14, the Billy's helmet touches the tapes and he goes off 15 metres. You know, Ricky Wells was in front, he looked good. At the back, you know, again, maybe just looked a little bit under pace. Willie Lawson obviously has struggled quite a lot away from Armadale, and his return can't be expected. Victor Palavara, you know, had the knock and had to pull out on Friday, whether he still had the after effects of that. But yeah, it was just, there was nothing really there beyond some of the exciting speed. And I said to a few of the guys I was there, if I hadn't been an Edinburgh fan at that match, not even being a Glasgow fan, if I'd have been a neutral, I would have enjoyed my night, because there was some cracking speed. We've seen Heat 13 is on the Glasgow social media, you know, two races and one in that one.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Graham. Yeah. You know, because, you know, Ashfield track is a work in progress. The riders have been telling us that for all season long. So the track's not, it's perfect state just yet. Maybe it'll be next season before we see that. But you know, it does. It's, nonetheless, it still allows for riders to go out there from visiting teams as well, and you know, and do what they do best, and you throw that bike about and ride inside, ride mid track, ride wide, and lots of that was in evidence on Tuesday. And I'm glad you mentioned the racing, because Eric Rees, Chris Harris early on, there was Josh Pickering doing his thing, rounding tigers for fun in a couple of heats, and Craig Cook, he did a bit of passing on Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's a 15 point max for Cook, but he was definitely made to work for it. You know, I think 3 years races he was outgated, and every time the pace that are in those bikes just now.
Interesting, because one, and I don't know if all Tigers fans picked up on this, but one of Craig's wins on Tuesday night, I can't remember which one it was, maybe his third or fourth, he borrowed Jordan Stewart's bike for.
No, really?
Literally, the clock was counting.
I did see that there was one race. Was it his third race where I seen the other bike come down?
That might have been the one.
Yeah, and he jumped.
He jumped on Jordan Stewart's bike, and you know, no one in the stadium realised that given the performance.
And again, it credit to Jordan Stewart, a guest coming in, scoring well, and immediately being part of the team, and allowing, you know, how many guests would have said, "Well, you're not getting near my bike," but credit to that. So yeah, it was.
Mission accomplished from a Glasgow point of view. We took the 3 points. We denied Edinburgh that away point, which we were concerned about, and we'll come on to discuss the effects of that later in the show. But clearly, an amazing night, and one which will live long in the memory for all of us of a red and white persuasion. Not too many Tigers fans will have truly expected such a dominant home performance, given the previous week's struggle against Ipswich. No wonder then team manager Cammy Brown was emotionally exhausted when I caught up with him afterwards and began by asking how it felt to win such a pressured meeting.
Amazing performance. I'm delighted with all the boys. They deserve it. They've worked their socks off recently. We all have. We've done a lot of work on the track and stuff, but I'm not going to touch on that. The team were superb tonight. We knew we had to hit them hard at the start. We've got a chat group and we had a wee chat about that today and yesterday, so We had an idea. We won the toss and we took the gates we wanted to take and tried to press home the advantage, and I think we did. But you know, fantastic performance. The effort was brilliant. We had 5 tasks given to the boys. The 3 home matches and the 2 away matches have been superb. The 3 home matches, we were touch and go last week with Ipswich, but the boys fought so hard at the end. I think they deserved what they got tonight. We got, you know, hammered at Edinburgh the last time. I think we've given them the same medicine back, and that really does feel nice. But more to that, we needed those 3 points. We needed Edinburgh not to get a point. Now we've got 2 huge challenges ahead, and I would hate, after doing all this work now, not to make those playoffs. We've got to get down to Ipswich and Lakeside and get something, and we're going to try 101%, as we have all season, to be honest. And the guys have really started to come together recently. So it was Starkey tonight. Jordan, our guest, who came in at the last minute. He wasn't the original choice. Connor got injured. He did a sterling job for us.
What a choice of guest.
He was excellent. He really was excellent. And nice lad to work with as well. But everybody contributed tonight. Jack had a bad night. Just had a lot of bad luck with his bike. But everyone else in the team scored good points. Put in a tremendous performance and then fought for every single point. You've got to do that against Edinburgh. The Monarchs do that, you know, that's what they do, and they're used to the home track advantage. And we've got to, you know, when we ride like that, we also have a home track advantage. We've got the team that can beat any team around here. And one of the things for me, I'm proud that we've gone all season at home in the league unbeaten. We've won every game, and that's something I'm very proud of. And the boys should be very proud of it because they've achieved it.
The pleasing thing, Cammy, it was a derby win, but it was a special derby win given the peripheral circumstances. But the delightful thing, I believe, is our destiny in terms of the playoff qualification is still in our own hands.
That's what we hope to. We could do at the start of the night. And at the end of the night, I'm delighted that it is still in our hands. And, you know, the boys now have momentum. And, you know, we know by the time we get to Ipswich on Thursday, we know what we need to do. And it's going to be hard. Believe me, not many teams win at Ipswich and not many teams win at Lakeside or take anything. We're capable of doing that. I still believe that our group of riders are one of the best teams, if not the best team. Let's go and prove it. We did tonight. Edinburgh, very good team. Let's not kid ourselves. And we annihilated them tonight. And when we have that attitude, and all the guys ride like that, we can beat any team.
Can I say one thing that I'm just highlighting? Edinburgh only scored 1 point more tonight than we scored at Armadale a number of weeks ago, and we were given a hard time for that, weren't we?
We certainly were. I do remember that. That's by the by. I mean, to be honest, just getting the 3 points without Edinburgh getting the point was what we really wanted. We did far better than that, and I'm absolutely delighted. I'm actually hoarse shouting at the guys. It was superb tonight. Really, really was, and they kept on it right to the very end.
Yep, and on the opposite side of the fence, obviously a disappointing night at the office, shall we say, for the Monarchs. One man who did cover himself in a bit of individual go at Rees was Monarchs Josh Pickering. I spoke to Josh after the match and just asked about the nature of the defeat.
Yeah, mate, and then another thing, it's out of my hands too. I'm in the year to race, I can only give it my best, and I'd try and do that every week, but team's effort wasn't good enough tonight.
You mentioned that there, it was a tough one. The Tigers were undoubtedly up for it right from the start. You know, they could only lose it, but you know, there's certain maybe guys in Edinburgh Pits that whatever you look at themselves after that.
Yeah, it is a, you know, the whole Scottish Derby thing, and they would have had a lot more pressure on them than we did on us, I suppose. But it's just one of them days where they had all their seven riders firing, and you know, and us without Joel and stuff like that. Like, Brock still done a good job, I suppose. Like, if you look at Joel's scores around here, I think Brock, that was a good guess for him. But Victor's hand could have been playing him at a bit of, you know, a bit of bad luck there with his thumb and stuff like that, and hopefully he can be right for Friday. But yeah, it's one of them things. They were up for it and we weren't.
If you try and take the result out of it for a second, on track, your own personal performance, 10 points, you know, in the battle on every heat, that pass of both Tigers in heat 12, you've got to be happy with your own night's work.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I always still come in scratching my head thinking, you know, it don't matter what position wise, I'm just worried about getting the best out of the bike, and there's definitely always room for improvement, and that's what I'm happy with. It's better than leaving thinking you can't get any better because then you won't improve. But I know there's more to work with, and we'll continue to do that.
And then obviously Friday night we've got Berwick, just a case of getting out, making sure I get back on the right track and put a big score against them, get those 3 points, and then see where it leaves us at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Berwick were in front of us last time we come around there, but I think if they prep the track like they have been, we shouldn't have an issue.
And then just a case of dusting ourselves off, remembering there's potentially still the playoffs and still a Keogh Cup to go out and win.
Yeah, definitely right, mate. We'll just wait for the message off John and tell us if we're in it or not. If we are in it, mate, I don't. Home and away, I doubt we'll be get done. You know what I mean? It's one of them things. It wasn't our night.
So it was the best performance of the season at the perfect time for the Tigers on Tuesday night, who would now look to take that confidence to Ipswich on Thursday night in the knowledge that an away win would seal a top four finish and extend the season in a big way. Let us immediately now time slip to Thursday night. The Glasgow mission was simple enough, even if the execution of it wasn't expected to be. Win on the night to all but guarantee a place in this season's playoff. The tails were up following that big win over Edinburgh. However, the Witches would be out to win in front of their own support and retain a slight outside chance of yet going through. Lots of watching eyes in the east of the country too, Graham, on Thursday.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, the result on Tuesday meant that it was out of Edinburgh's hands at that point. And, you know, as much as I'll say I always want any team facing Glasgow to win, that's the nature of the rivalry, it was even more so on Thursday night. Speedway updates was getting refreshed frantically, I'm sure, all across the EH postcode. But as it was, that form from Tuesday night continued into Thursday, and it's a phrase we use a lot, job done for the Tigers.
Job done for the Tigers. Ipswich 41, Glasgow 49, I'm delighted to say. And that was decisive in the end, because that was a 4-point away victory for the Tigers, as opposed to the 3 that we would have been quite happy to settle for. In the end, that was actually going to prove to be fairly decisive. But yeah, a top drawer performance by Messrs Cook and Harris around Foxhall. And once again, solidly backed up by Paul Stark and James Sargent.
Yeah, and we touched on it slightly when we talked about Tuesday. That's probably been the turning point over the last week for the Tigers, has been that performance. Probably Sargent in particular. You know, we know what he's capable of, and he was scoring well at reserve, moved into the main body of the team, and you're always concerned when a rider moves up, will that scoring disappear? Yeah. But if anything, over the last week or so, for whatever reason, he seems to have found another level.
Well, he struggled against Ipswich, so you know, his debut at number two, he scored 2 points only against the Witches a week past on Tuesday. And yeah, I guess there were some concerns that maybe Tigers had lost that points contribution, but my goodness, he refound that against the Monarchs and at Foxhall, which is a track that he's spent a season on, to
of
be
course.
Fair, so he knows his way around there. But I did pick out Paul Stark last week. I did say on tapes that I felt there was a bit more to come from Paul, and what a difference it makes. Just, you know, to score 7 or 8 points from 4 rides, and there's particular points in the meeting, heat 14 in particular, where we need Paul Stark to win heats for us home and away, and that's what he's done this week.
Yeah, and probably, you know, you can only take positives out the last week, but key performances by Stark, because if anything, his partner in that engine room over the last week, because Vissa moved back to free, had a fairly subdued week. 5, I think it was on Tuesday, 2 on Thursday. So that those points performances by Stark were absolutely crucial to cover for that.
Yeah, you know, if there's a new concern within the Tigers camp, it might be the drop in scoring of Klaus Vissing over the past 2 weeks. He's still a quality rider. We can't forget his contribution throughout this season, but moving into the playoffs as we are now, we certainly need Klaus to start scoring again.
Yep, and I guess the overriding joy of the evening, there was that win. You know, 49-41, 4 points on the board, which meant regardless any of the results anywhere else in the country, Friday, Saturday.
Well, that was the beauty of it, because
Glasgow were in the playoffs.
That was the beauty of it, because we knew we had to go to Lakeside the following night, and that was Lakeside as in their former home as it is now, in Essex. And that's a eternally difficult place to go and try and eke out an away win. So that pressure had been removed, and another nervy night for travelling supporters and those watching around the country, around the whole of the UK, in fact, on Thursday night. Delightfully, though, another battling and in the end comfortable enough win for the Tigers, and one which, as you say, Graham, mathematically made certain that Glasgow will line up in the playoff semi-finals for the fourth successive season.
Yep, and you mentioned that there. That took all the pressure off 24 hours later when you headed to Essex. I presume everyone stayed down. I don't think anyone would have done Glasgow, Ipswich, home to Glasgow, then back to Lakeside on the Friday.
I liked the thought, yeah.
It was a case of pressure off, and a celebration night for Lakeside. Their last night, farewell to the Essex Raceway there. Some stars from the past out, including former Ricky Butcher stunt double, Troy Pratt, who did a few laps. Anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, Google EastEnders Speedway.
Circa 1995.
Exactly. But again, it's, you know, there's still something written for Lakeside had to win to make sure the playoffs. And for Glasgow, probably sure that Lakeside are going to be in the playoffs. You may face them again, albeit at Rye House.
Different venue.
Lakeside.
Yeah.
But you still want to go there and prove and put a bit of doubt into the Lakeside team that it's a Glasgow team that's up for the fight.
Well, I've got to say, in the end, Lakeside did win 50 points to 40. But at any point this season, for Glasgow to go to Lakeside and score 40 points, I would have been delighted with.
Well, you must be one of the only ones in the league. We spoke about it last week. I think only one other team in the league got to 40 at Lakeside, and led, as always is the case, by Craig Cook. And that's probably the difference between, if that had been 3 months ago or 2 months ago before Cook was in the team, that would have been 55-35.
Correct.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
But having that Cook that got 16 points from six rides, really led from the front. And as it finishes, league campaign's done. I don't have the league table in front of me, dependent on, I guess, how it finishes. There's other matches to go, but going into the playoffs, are Glasgow second? Will they have a pick, or are they just left with the Peterborough pick for being top of the league and then...
Yeah, Glasgow ain't going to get a pick, so Peterborough are the ones...
Of course, if there's only four, if one person picks, the other one's left.
But we'll talk more about the permutations and what may happen and be announced over the course of the next couple of days. But yeah, job done. So, you know, it was a massive week for Glasgow this time last Sunday, Graham, when we previewed the meetings. That home win against the Monarchs, the away win at Ipswich, were absolutely sent Tigers fans into delirium, I think is the term to use. And Friday night was just a bit of a going through the motions, but still to score 40 points at Lakeside is quite something, I think.
Yep, so that was Glasgow's week, and a fantastic week, best week of the season, as christened by Derek Smith there for the Tigers. Join us after this, where we'll discuss how the week of the Berwick Bandits and the rest of Edinburgh Monarchs week, and also hear from Glasgow number one's Craig Cook.
Love music, live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and Graham Munsey on Rock Sport Radio.
You're listening to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, Central Scotland's rock and sport authority, bringing you all the news, views and interviews on the Scottish speedway scene. Broadcasting on DAB digital radio, listen live on the move via the TuneIn app, else listen again to tonight's show and catch up on all previous shows via podcast, accessible from the Rock Sport website, else from your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. So, turning away now from Glasgow's successes in the past week, on Friday night it was the turn of Edinburgh to get back on track as Berwick Bandits arrived at Armadale. the Monarchs would be all out for another home win to conclude their league campaign and preserve their fading playoff hopes for another 24 hours or so, whilst the Bandits too knew that a win would also extend their mathematical possibility by 24 hours. The weather leading up to start time will have hampered track prep. Graham, fortunately, you were unable to be at Armadale on Friday night, but as the Monarchs man on the show, do tell us what happened.
That's right, Derek. A system glitch, shall we call it, meant I was stuck in a lovely office on my Jack Jones till 10 o'clock on Friday night, and the first and the last time I might not be too upset by that. You mentioned there the conditions did play a huge part. I'm not going to be disingenuous to Derek and say...
Yeah, it rained heavily throughout Friday.
It did, and any other night without the cut-off date looming, and that's right. Not an excuse by any means, because everyone knows, and the cut-off date was in paper... You know, from the start of the season,
absolutely.
It was extended. This is, and there's no excuses coming from my side of the table today. But on any other Friday, that meeting would potentially have been off. As it were, it went ahead. The Bandits were the quickest to react.
Can we just tidy something up, though? Because I've seen some suggestions on social media that had Friday not been possible, there was an option to run on Sunday, to run today.
They looked into that, but... Well, for one, we've seen this afternoon, it chucked down all afternoon, so that made a difference. I'm led to believe that both Ricky Wells and Josh Pickering would have been missing as a minimum. The paramedic had been asked, the ambulance company had been asked, they weren't able to confirm that they would be able to provide a paramedic. And obviously, yourself, with no paramedic, you can't run the meeting. So
behind the scenes, it very much had to be Friday.
It did. That Sunday had been mooted. Every avenue, no stone was left unturned, and whether other arrangements could have been made, flights could have been cancelled, things could have been booked, yes, but it was kind of Friday or nothing, and as the case were, Beric, and congratulations to the Bandits, they were quickest to react, and we've spoke about it in the show, we've spoke the last few weeks about the Monarchs' dominant home form, and I've said every week, it's the attitude of the away riders that causes some of these scores.
You said that very thing.
And on Friday, the attitude of the away riders was absolutely spot on. They reacted to the conditions better. They were, again, and I'm taking this off sort of second hand, I wasn't there, but they were lightning from the gate early in the meeting, and I believe one, was it the first seven heats that they won, or six out of the first seven heats or something like that?
Well, they did to Edinburgh what Edinburgh have done to so many teams this season.
Yeah.
They raced off into a 16 point league, early doors.
Yeah, absolutely massive. And then obviously, while the Monarchs did have a bit of a fight back in them, you're always fighting a losing battle in that case, because all it takes is one ride where you don't pick up an advantage, and I think it was heat 12 where Teo Piper rolled back the years and held Josh Pickering off for the four laps, and at that point you're kind of looking for snookers almost, to use a different sport in parlance. And hey, it wasn't to be. I'm not going to say I'm not disappointed. We sat here last week and I had hopes, right, it's still in the Monarchs' hand. After Tuesday it was out of her hands, but it was still there. And I guess, you never know what's going to happen, but all the more galling to wake up this morning and look at the scores from last night and see, actually,
yes,
as it were, if those results had been replicated last night and the Monarchs had won on Friday night, we'd be talking about the Monarchs and the Tigers in the playoffs, not just the Tigers.
Yeah, and that must just rub salt into the wounds, to be quite honest.
It
must feel a bit raw to you and your fellow Monarchs. So 42 to the Monarchs, 48 to Berwick on Friday night. And you said it yourself, Graham, credit to Berwick, because a number of weeks ago they came to Armadale and raced into, they had a really strong start and raced into an early lead, and then the heavens opened and the meeting was washed out. So, but the Bandits came back, they haven't won an away meeting all season,
exactly,
and we've been a bit critical of them for that, and here they come at this pressure point of the season. They came to Armadale and did exactly what they had to do.
It is, and it's, it's a victim of circumstance. If there's one team in the league that I wouldn't want to come to Armadale in those conditions, it's probably the Bandits. Because, you look at the likes of David Howe, Kevin Doohan and Teo Piper, three more experienced guys you're not going to find in our league. Piper, a former Monarch, and a noted motorcyclist, world long track, grass. He's done.
And by the way, what everything. A score from Theo Piper, 13 points.
Exactly. And, Theo has always revelled in those kind of conditions. And then for everyone else, it levels up. So you start looking at guys, and I don't think I'm being too harsh on him. Somebody like Jai Effridge, a noted hater off the Armadale circuit, a big track rider, does well at the likes of Berwick, Workington, rode for Bellevue in the Premiership. Not renowned as a...
Had one of his better Armadale nights,
exactly.
5 points. Though.
Got out the gate early, rode steadily, and was able to keep it going. And it was just, one of those nights. I'm not going to say everything that could go wrong did go wrong. You've still got to go out there and complete the job, but... sadly lacking in certain areas, and for the first time in 7 years, I think it is, we're on the outside looking in as the playoffs start.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock. I mean, the whole Friday night thing, you know, even for us Glasgow fans watching this game, wasn't what we expected to be seeing unravel on Friday night. It's a shock to the system for all concerned with the Monarchs. A defining night in the league championship chase for Edinburgh. Not at all as per plan or as hoped for. And a little earlier, Graham and I managed to catch up with John Campbell and asked to reflect on what was clearly a very tough night.
So we're joined on the line by Monarchs co-promoter John Campbell. John, a tough week and not the end of the season the Monarchs were looking for.
Well, we haven't got to the end of the season yet, but it would have been nice to have a better result at both Glasgow and on Tuesday and Armadale on Friday, but didn't go our way in either of them. Both very disappointing.
John, it was a massive week for Glasgow and Edinburgh, and one or two other clubs, of course, who still had aspirations in the playoffs this season. And you know, each club individually knew what they had to do this week. And would it be fair to say that we now know how it all worked out, of course? But would it be fair to say that even the most pessimistic Edinburgh fan may not quite have seen those results coming this week?
Yeah. Losing to Berwick at home is not a thing that you see very often, that's for sure. Glasgow were far more up for the occasion on Tuesday night than we were, and I think that was the case on Friday as well, that when the conditions were not perfect at the start, Berwick got on with it and some of our boys didn't.
And I guess now the big task you mentioned, that the season's not over, we've got a cup semi-final to come as and when we find the opponents of that out, and I guess the main task now is getting the guys back up and making sure that there's still some silverware in the trophy cabinet come the end of the season.
Throughout this run into the conclusion of the championship campaign for the playoff situation, I've always thought that it's difficult for to get the vital away points that we needed to be certain of that qualification. So it's always been a hard time for us away from home. But we've still got one major task, and that is the knockout cup. And eventually, no doubt, we'll find out that we're going to meet probably Workington, hopefully on the last Friday of the month at Armadale. And I'm sure that given better conditions than we had on Friday night, I'm sure we'll pick up a good lead from that match to take to Workington whenever that match takes place.
John, we all know, Graham and I have been talking about it in recent Tapes Up shows, you know, we all know that naturally the league title is the main ambition at the start of any Speedway season, but it's not to be for Edinburgh, of course, this year. We now know that, but picking up that knockout cup come September, October, that wouldn't be too bad a consolation, surely.
It's always nice to win some kind of silverware, so that competition being the major one available to us now, then we've got to do our very, very best to win it. I think that we're capable of beating any team on aggregate, and therefore I think we've got a very good chance of winning that.
And then looking at Friday night, obviously the result against Berwick didn't go our way. You mentioned the conditions there. It was, you know, probably one of those matches that on any other night of the season, with the cut-off not looming as it is today, I believe Sunday was the cut-off, and we probably would have postponed that. And then it was, you've got to sort of take your hat off to Berwick in the way that they tackled those conditions early in the match.
Well, whilst you're probably correct in saying that we would have postponed that on any other day of the season, it's interesting that after the first few races, as far as I was concerned, the conditions were okay. And I actually suspect that if you were to go to the Lakeside team and say to them, how do you fancy those conditions as compared with the ones of the previous week, they'd probably jump to very wet conditions. So I think once we got the match going on Friday, I think the track began to ride quite acceptably from early on in the match. The critical thing was, of course, that it wasn't raining, and that's what makes it possible.
John, you make an interesting point about the track, and you know, an objective question, and I hope you interpret it this way or accept it this way. You're given Monarchs' forms in recent weeks. You know, you absolutely hammered all opposition at Armadale for quite a number of weeks, and of course you've been able to prep the track to your riders' liking, and that's what other clubs do as well, of course. Were you, with hindsight, were you perhaps caught out by that? Did that perhaps limit and handicap the Monarch side because the track on Friday night couldn't be prepared that way?
Well, I think the biggest problem on Friday night was that the Berwick riders were far more up for the occasion in the wet conditions and were prepared to race hard in the first corner to get into the lead. As soon as the track dried out, Berwick won the first seven races. As soon as the track dried out, then we won seven of the eight remaining races. So we couldn't say that the track had been prepared in a manner by racing that would have matched what we had done in previous weeks. I think it was just a matter of getting your head down and get on with it.
Well, John, thanks very much for taking the time to join us. Obviously not the end to the league campaign the Monarchs would have wanted, the first time I believe in 6 or 7 years that we'll be on the outside looking in for the playoffs. But as you mentioned, we'll get ourselves up for the cup and some big matches still to come at Armidale. So thanks again for your time today, John.
Okay, then. Pleasure to be with you.
So, you know, John Campbell there, good enough to give us the time to go over what was obviously a disappointing night, and no one will have felt it any more acutely than John. When he puts a team together every year, him and the rest of the promotion, they truly believe that it's a team that's capable of winning the league. There's been an admittance that they maybe didn't get that right at the start of the year, but changes were made to try and rectify that. It wasn't to be, and actually if you're when you start sort of taking a, once the dust settled and you take a step back, when you actually look at since the changes were made in Ritchie and originally Max Clegg were brought in and then William Lawson, the home form has been dominant, and that's dominated the headlines. But actually, there's been no real upturn in away form. You know, we've not won an away match since the changes were made. We got beat pretty handily at Berwick. We've covered off Ashfield on Tuesday. We conceded a heat 15-5-1 at Sheffield that cost us. We only got a draw.
And with retrospect, you wouldn't single out one meeting as being the turning point, but perhaps that draw, as opposed to an away win at Sheffield, has come back to haunt.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if it's, it's 2 points from an away draw, it's 3 points if we'd won by you know, less than six. So that 1 point wouldn't have made the difference in the end. But you just start seeing, and you know, whether it's a belief thing or it, you know, it papered over the cracks or things like that. But hey, you know, we've got to regroup. We've got a week off now. Maybe not a bad thing. Allow the guys to regroup, get a few things done, get themselves back together. And you know, there's the Kale Cup to come, and that's no little competition. It's the FA Cup or the Scottish Cup off, you know, Speedway is the Kale Cup.
I would suggest, Graeme, you know, we said in last week's show, the league comes first, of course it does, but if you were to pick out a consolation trophy to win, it would be the Knockout Cup, wouldn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. You know, and hey, it's not the season the Monarchs would have wanted, even if we finish up winning that cup, but I'm sure they're still, you know what, fifth place or sixth place in the league, just missing out on the playoffs at our last meeting. The potential for a cup win, there's still five or six teams that would take that, you know, and that's what we've got to remember.
Yep. Will we move on? Do you want to dwell a bit more?
Mark, I've got a winter to dwell on it, Derek. Let's move on swiftly just now.
Let's move on. Well, listen, so, you know, here we are on Sunday night, and as predicted on last week's show, all of the heat of battle has now taken place for those playoffs. We can now take stock of all those key results over the past week and have a little look at what might happen in the coming weeks. So I'm looking at, Graeme, the league table as it was earlier today. I haven't got the absolute updated table because Workington were racing at Newcastle a little earlier, and that's not been factored in. However, what was assured is that Peterborough Panthers have finished top of the pile after the regular fix. Congratulations to the Panthers. They finished top on 45 points. As things stood, Glasgow were currently in second place, potentially could be overtaken by Workington's result at Newcastle.
Yep.
And Lakeside have managed to qualify as the fourth placed finish. So that's Peterborough, Glasgow, Workington and Lakeside confirmed as the four sides who will battle out over the next couple of weeks to determine who will be this season's Championship League champions.
Yep, and I think obviously before we go on how the playoffs are going to line up, it would be remiss if we didn't give Berwick a further mention. Obviously Saturday, after winning at Armidale, they headed down to Ipswich and repeated defeat. You know, London buses, is that what away wins are like? No away wins all season, then they get 2 and 2 nights.
And again, what does that say about the Bandits? Yeah. You know, Scott Courtney, who we hope to catch up with for a Berwick Bandits special on next week's show, I'm quite sure will be absolutely proud of his seven riders for their efforts over the past 40 hours.
That's it. You know, they battled manfully to the end. You look at the league table there, and to finish, albeit weather matches still to be raced, but at the cut off, 1 point outside of the playoffs, in fifth position, and that fifth position is guaranteed. From where Berwick have been over the past few years, and still a young promotional team in regards to Speedway experience, I think this is their third season, maybe their fourth, season, I think. You know, well done to everyone at Berwick and that team, seven riders that battled on right till the end, and
huge progress around that club. And if you look at, you compare this year's league table to 2017, quite a difference. Graham, just before we leave the league table and talk about playoff prospects and knockout cups, etc. So as you've confirmed, Berwick finished guaranteed to finish in fifth place. Edinburgh will finish in sixth place, which makes Edinburgh Scotland's third best speedway team, by my reckoning.
Well, it does this year, but of course there's still a lot to win, and I will happily say I am confident that there will be more silverware in Edinburgh at the end of the season than there will be in Glasgow.
And the other thing I must congratulate you on, actually, this was by sheer fluke. I was tidying up some paperwork in Speedway Star magazines around my office at home this week, and I happened to notice Graham Munsey's prediction at the start of the season, which predicted that Edinburgh would finish, can you remember?
I'm guessing six.
Spot on, Graham. Well done.
If I can toot my own horn on that one, out of the pundits, this is the second year I've done the Speedway Star predictions. Out of the pundits, I got the highest score last year, and I've not looked at this one, but I'm guessing the fact that I've got one spot on so far means I might not be far
away. Looks like you've done well.
Sometimes I hate being right.
So listen, hopefully in the next 48 hours or so, we will all learn publicly as to how this season's playoff semi-finals will line up. Let us now do a little bit of speculating and see who Peterborough, who are the team who finished top, and they get to pick who their opposition will be in the semi-final. Let's have a look at who they may well pick, Graham. So I'm looking at Peterborough's record this season against each of Glasgow, Lakeside and Workington.
Yep.
So against Glasgow this season, Peterborough lost only by 4 points at Ashfield back in June, and they won by 8 points over the Tigers at the Showground. So in aggregate, that was a fairly tight affair.
Yep.
I would argue that Glasgow's form has picked up a good bit since.
Was that a Craig Cooke Glasgow team?
That was pre-Craig Cooke. Yeah. Against Lakeside, the Panthers won at, in fact, they won last night at Lakeside's now home at Rye House by 10 points. And actually, in the next fortnight, Peterborough and Lakeside are scheduled to meet each other four times.
So they'll be bored of each other.
Correct. They've been drawn against each other in the Knockout Cup quarter-final and the Championship Shield semi-final. So Peterborough, you know, won at Lakeside last night. But they're going to see an awful lot of that side over the next couple of weeks. And then against Workington, head-to-head against Workington, the Panthers lost fairly heavily at Workington only on Friday night, 38-52. And we'll all remember, way back in May, Workington went to the Showground and hammered the Panthers 57-33.
It's truly remarkable that Peterborough are top of the league, and it's credit to their away form, because their home form has actually been pretty patchy. And, you know, you get to this stage of the season, and Speedway is such a funny sport that actually, with the form shown over the last week and with various things going on, you know, you look at the four contenders and Glasgow are probably the only ones unscathed at the minute. You know, Peterborough missing Scott Nicholls and Tom Bacon, Workington missing Ty Proctor and Dan Bewley, Lakeside losing a home track and appearing not to have dialed in too quickly, when last night only beating Newcastle by six and then getting, well, humped by 10 points, albeit once the job was done they knew they were in the playoffs, so whether it was pressure off, let's just get through the meeting. Whereas Glasgow, full 1-7, albeit with Nathan still on the sidelines, but that's not a sort of new injury that's been there, so some guests to be chosen there. But, you know, let's be honest, I am a betting man. You know, people say, if you're a betting man, I do like a wee flutter on the football and stuff. If you were asking me to put 10 of my own British shiny pounds down on the table, I'd pick a winner out of that four, I wouldn't have a clue.
No, I agree with you. That's what makes it all the more exciting. So, yeah, so watch with interest over the next 24, 48 hours, and hopefully we'll all learn the lineup for those playoff semi-finals, and I guess the scheduling of them. We're probably a couple of weeks away
It's going to be interesting to see the schedule, because invariably the teams that are still involved in the Championship Shield semi-finals and KO Cup quarter and semi-finals are mostly playoff contenders and playoff teams as well.
But you know what, way back in March, April time, you know, we all set about on our Championship journeys, and the ambition was to qualify for those playoffs, and then the saying in Speedway, Graham, is that anything can happen. So let's watch, and we'll keep watch here on Tapes Up over the coming weeks. And for Edinburgh, Graham, we've touched on the Knockout Cup, the semi-final awaits between Workington and Newcastle to determine who the Monarchs will face in the semi-final, possibly just a couple of weeks or so away. And the other semi-final, just as a reminder, will be between the winners of Lakeside and Peterborough and Scunthorpe. So, again, we'll keep watch on how that develops.
Yep, certainly no fear in any of those teams, I'd say, for Edinburgh over two legs. If they can, you know, get back to the form we showed just 2 weeks ago, then it's certainly up for the cup the rest of the way, shall we?
Glad to hear it. So listen, there's no doubting that Glasgow are a much different side and pose a much bigger scoring threat now than earlier in the season. Whilst that, of course, may be attributable to the efforts of the entire side, you won't find too many who would disagree that the catalyst for the upturn in form and sheer appetite to win has come from the form of number one Craig Cook, introduced to the side during July. In an exclusive interview here on Tapes Up, I spoke with Craig about all things Glasgow and began by asking just how much joining the Tigers had helped him.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, things have definitely come on in the last 8 weeks. So, you know, progressed a lot, and I feel like I've definitely got more speed in the bike, and obviously we're riding more often. You know, I feel more comfortable on the bike. I just feel, you know, everything feels familiar. And I go to the track, and it hasn't been a week or so since I've been on the bike. So, you know, I'm getting plenty of bike time, and riding just seems to be happening, really, really easy at the minute.
Excellent. And talking about tracks, Craig, you know, there's a lot of focus on you linking up with Glasgow and lots of plaudits too, given your high scoring. Clearly an instant liking for the reshaped Ashfield circuit?
It's absolutely phenomenal. You know, the shape that they've developed on the track now is, you know, it lends itself more to racing. So, there's plenty more space, you know, especially into the corners. You can get two, maybe three riders, you know, side by side into the corners. So, you know, it definitely helps with the shape. And, we've definitely seen, in my eyes, we've definitely seen some better racing at Glasgow in of late. And, there's definitely there's going to be more improvements over the winter. And, the Glasgow track, you know, is a little bit bumpy on going into some of the bends. But once in the winter, when we've got time to iron them out, you know, I think even in the future, we're going to see even better racing.
Craig, obviously it was a huge occasion for Glasgow fans on Tuesday night at Ashfield. How much did you enjoy that derby occasion, given the situation and against the opposition?
Yeah, obviously we thought it was going to be a lot harder than what it was. Edinburgh are a very, very careful team, but they probably, had a little bit of an off night. It's always a great occasion. With the derby, it's something I've been involved in the past, but on the opposite side. But it's always a phenomenal occasion when the two clubs come together, and you know the speedway in Scotland is always fantastic and something I always enjoy. So I thoroughly enjoyed it, and you know it's obviously great to get the 3 points that we needed to put us towards the playoffs.
And of course, Craig, Thursday night sensational win at Ipswich confirms the Tigers of one of four sides now who can still lift the league title next month. What have you learned about this Tiger side, Craig, and how do you rate the chances of going the distance?
Yeah, when I first joined the team, you know, we were probably a little bit inconsistent, and of late we've started getting a little bit more consistency. And you know we'll look to still build on the consistency of the team and throughout the whole team. So I feel like there's still a little bit of work to be done, but we're all working hard together. And if there's any help that I can give to any of the riders or any pointers or anything that I can do to help, you know, we're going to try to put that into the next few weeks before the real tough matches start. So. You know, we don't want to just be in the playoffs. We want to fight to win this trophy. So, we've got work to do, but you know, it's definitely progressing forward and moving in the right direction.
As you say, Craig, still work to do this season, of course, and let's not take our eyes off that task. But if I could end with a slightly difficult question, perhaps, but all things being equal for 2019, Craig, what's Craig Cook's thoughts on extending his time at Glasgow?
Obviously, I think the club is fantastic, and it's run extremely professional. And
the progress that I've seen in Glasgow since I've started Fairway has been absolutely fantastic. You know, the club is run at such a high level now. And, you know, I have thoroughly enjoyed my time at Glasgow this year. And, you know, we'll see what the winter brings. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the leagues and the league structure and what's going to happen and what league Glasgow are actually going to be in. So, you know, there's been quite a lot of rumours. But, you know, I don't want to talk too much about that. But, yeah, like I said, you know, if I'm eligible to ride for Glasgow next year, you know, I'd love to do so. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen with the leagues and what's going to happen with the structure and how many rules are made up this year. So we'll just have to wait and see what the winter brings.
All the big Speedway interviews keep coming here on Tapes Up, Graham.
Definitely, definitely. So, Derek, what we got on board for the week ahead?
Not a lot.
Nothing. Nada, bupkis, squadouche.
Nothing involved Speedway,
no,
anyway.
No Speedway in Scotland for next week, obviously. Away on Berwick, season finished. Edinburgh awaiting Workington or Newcastle in the next round of the KO Cup, and Glasgow awaiting who they get in the playoffs. That doesn't mean Speedway stops, though. You know, get yourselves onto all the social media, Edinburgh, Glasgow, Berwick, club websites, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, we're all on there. It's not a week off for us. We'll still be back here next week, Derek.
We'll be back. What we're going to talk about, we're not sure. What we will have, actually, next week, we can promise you we'll have a bit of a Berwick Bandits focus. Yep. Their league season. I think they've still got the board in Annapolis to come yet, Graham, in a couple of weeks' time. But their competitive season is all but over. But we'll catch up, hopefully, with Scott Courtney and reflect on the Bandits season.
Yep, and as always, all that's left to do is thank all our guests for joining us. Thank you for listening to us. Please make sure your Speedway friends know about us. Keep it tuned to Rock Sport for the best mix of music and sport. We'll be back next Sunday to bring you all the news and talking points.
Enjoy your week, folks. Look forward to your company on Tapes Up same time next week. Good night.
Good night.
Live Sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and Graham Munsey on Rock Sport Radio.